Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Today we're continuing our series of sermons on life lessons from Jesus' parables. And we're doing the guests at the banquet. Jesus was at a wedding banquet, and he has this parable that he tells. From verse 1, just setting the scene. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. Then a little bit later, Jesus tells this parable. When he noticed that the guests chose places of honor, he told them a parable. And what is this parable about? When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down in the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by the host. And the host who invited both of you may come to you and say, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you're invited, sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Humility. What does it mean? And what does it mean to you? On one occasion, Jesus was at a banquet, and he gave a parable about humility. And I don't know if you can picture this in your minds. This is the way a banquet would take place in Israel at that time. Picture tables set up in sort of a horseshoe shape, a U shape, and the host would be at the top. The person of most importance, number one importance, would be to his right. Person of second importance to his left, third importance to his right again, fourth importance to his left again, and so it would go. Now, the problem was people didn't follow clocks in those days, and people would come at all times for the wedding banquet. No time was announced. They come in at different times, and some of them. And of course, the host wouldn't be there either on, you know, what we would say on time. Some of them thought, "Hey, I belong up in the good seats, up in the important people's seats." And they'd get up there. And then the host would come. And of course, the important people would come fashionably late. So if you, by chance, thought you were an important person, and sat up in the dignitary area, and the host came, the host would have to say, "You have to go down and sit in the lower part down there, because the dignitaries have arrived." And this would be very shameful. You know, you'd be very embarrassed. So Jesus is advising, given the customs of the day, when you come, sit in the lower seat. And then when the host comes, and he sees you sitting down in the lower seat, he'll say, hey, you don't belong down there. Come on up and sit with the important people. And Jesus here was not giving sort of a mismanners on how to behave at a party. Though what he says would apply, he's really speaking out against pride and arrogance. And he ends the parable by saying, you know, those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Now, what does humility mean to you? Jesus actually talks a lot about humility. So does St. Paul. So does a lot of scripture. But I think it's by and large misunderstood in our society. Humility is not being a doormat for people to walk over and clean their shoes on. It's not sort of groveling and thinking very poorly about yourself. In the Bible, Moses is called the most humble man on earth. And yet, you know, this is a guy who stood up to Pharaoh. It's a guy who stood up to the rebellion of his own people. I was interested reading some of the statements about Kobe Bryant. And with all the praise, they said, you know, this was a good father and a humble man. A humble man. Yet on the courts, he was a fierce competitor. What is humility? I like C.S. Lewis's definition, if I can remember it correctly. He said, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. It's not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. I think the Jewish people have a story about a rabbi who was a very good preacher. This man could really preach, and he was honored in a national magazine as being one of the 50 best preachers in the country. Not 1 year, but 4 years in a row, he was given this honor. And a woman in his congregation wrote him a letter saying, I think you're one of the best preachers in the country. And the rabbi, of course, how would you feel? You know, the rabbi was feeling pretty good. He went home and he spoke to his wife and he said to his wife, how many great preachers do you think there are in this country? And the wife looked at him and looked at the letter in his hand and said, one less than you think. What's the old saying? You know, if only we could see ourselves as other people see us. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. Now, humility, as we said, it's not the opposite of self-esteem. It's the opposite of self-centeredness. Why is this so important? What does a sense of humility, or really the gift of humility, give to us? I think, first of all, it enables us or helps us to learn and to grow. You know, if we think we know everything, There's no room for growth. There's no room for development. And again, there's a story told about a young student, a young girl, at Princeton University. And she was in the library, and she saw this old guy with frizzy hair, big frizzy hair. She saw this old guy studying, and she said, what are you studying? And he said, physics. And she said, oh, I took that last year. But you know who the guy with the frizzy hair was? Albert Einstein. You know, he knew that though he knew a lot of physics, there was still a lot more to learn. The girl had sort of cut herself off from any more learning as far as physics was concerned. Learning and growth are sort of byproducts of humility, an openness to learn, an openness to grow. Humility, I think, also helps us to recognize our need for God. If we think we're the center of the universe and everything surrounds us, there's not much room for God there. But if we recognize that we are dependent creatures, contingent creatures, limited creatures, and we depend on God, that's something else. And I think of some of these pictures, you know, that we have from the Hubble telescope out in space. They're beautiful pictures. And again, one of them would appear to be showing just stars in the sky. But each of those stars was actually a galaxy. Each of them actually a galaxy. And it was a picture, really, of billions and billions of stars. And I can't grasp that. That's beyond my ability to grasp. And I can't grasp the God who called all of that into being. At the same time, I stand in wonder that the God who called all of that into being has also called you and me into being as well. That God who has called outer space and all its vastness into being has also called you and me in our smallness, comparative smallness, into being and given us life, and what's more, cares for us. Cares for us. Humility. This recognition that we're not the center of things, we're really part of something much greater than ourselves, opens us to the recognition of our need for God. Just the wonder that we have life and we're here. So humility opens us to learn and grow. It helps us sense our need for God. Also, I think humility opens us to the needs of others. It gives us empathy for what other people may be going through. Again, the Jewish people have a story about the prophet Elijah. Prophet Elijah used to visit this very pious man and visit him on a frequent occasion. But then this very pious man built a wall around his house with a guardhouse. And the prophet Elijah stopped coming. And the rabbis asked, when they tell this story, you know, why? Why did Elijah stop coming? Isn't it right for someone to build a wall to protect his house? And they said, in this case, this man had built a wall so that he could not hear the cries of those in need. So he could shut out the cries of those who were going through hard times. This was a wall of ego. Humility makes us realize that we didn't get where we are today just by our own efforts. Other people were involved. And it can give us a sense of empathy, a feeling for people who are going through a rough time right now. I mean, we've collected how many soup cans? We're making 400 sandwiches. Humility. John Wooden was a basketball coach with UCLA, and he used to have little sayings that he gave his team. And one of them went like this, if I can remember it properly. He said, talent is God-given. Be humble. Fame is man-given. Be grateful. Conceit is self-given. Be careful. What did Jesus say? Those who are exalted will be humbled. Those who are humbled will be exalted. You want the host to say, hey, come on up to the good seats. Right. Amen.